Okay, my name is Eric Jerome. I am 14 years old. Today is November 26th. I'm speaking with my grandma, Marilee. We are recording this interview in Rockville, Maryland. Okay, so can you tell me about someone who had a big influence on your life?
When I was in the military, or
sure.
In general?
Both.
Okay.
Were you actually first?
Yes.
When were you born?
I was born January 26, 1942.
Okay, where?
In Rapid City, South Dakota.
How was growing up in Rapid City?
I loved it. It was a small town, very friendly, and my family was there. It was right after World War II started, and my dad was in the Army, and he had to go overseas, so my mom was alone with me, and we had to count on our family to take care of us while he was gone.
When did you decide to join the military?
When I was in college, in those days, it was considered expensive for the college to be $1,580 a year, which is amazing compared to what colleges cost now. But my mother found out about a program called the Army Student Nurse Program. It was during the Vietnam War. And if you agreed to go on active duty in the Army, they would pay you a salary as an enlisted person, plus they would pay for your college tuition and all your books. And my mom said that would be a wonderful way to save our family some money so they could afford to send my brother to college. So I decided that I would try it. I was in a nursing program, and they had this program just for nursing students.
How old were you?
When I joined, I was 21 years old.
How was, what was your first experience in the military?
Well, when I was in college, I didn't have any sense of being in the military except for that money coming in. But then, when we, about 6 months before we graduated, there were about 11 girls in my class that did this. We were flown to Chicago for what was called the swearing-in. We were inducted into the Army and became officers because we had our college education then. And when we graduated, we were sent to San Antonio, Texas, to go to basic training, which all Army people have to do to start their careers or their jobs in the Army.
How was basic training?
Well, I'm sure it wasn't as hard as it was for the guys who were in the infantry,
mm-hmm.
But for the nurses, we had to sleep in cement barracks on cots.
What's that?
The barracks was like a big, long dormitory where everybody was just in one room, and we had to share this big bathroom. And we had to wear fatigues and combat boots every day, or we had to wear what was called the summer green uniform, which was a green blouse and skirt if we were going to be doing classroom work. We had to march every morning out on the pavilion, and they took us out in the field, and we had to do night hiking with a compass, and we had to find our way from one point to another with just maps and compasses, and we had to carry our entrenching tools and our canteens and all of our food gear with us. And it was very, very different from what any of us had ever done before. It wasn't dangerous, but it was just required a lot of exertion and self-confidence. And nobody dropped out and nobody got frightened, but it was just a totally new experience for us.
Do you think that the basic training was necessary for you to become a good nurse?
Well, the whole rest of my career, my personal career, was always spent in a hospital. And the only time I ever used that outdoor training was every summer we had to go to an outdoor exercise to remain combat ready. And we had to set up a mobile army hospital, and we had to learn how to operate a hospital out in the field. So I don't remember that basic training really prepared me for those specific tasks, but it helped me get ready for it. And then every summer when I did it, it got easier because I got more familiar with it. The part I think that was the most frightening for me was the gas chamber, because they told us that they released real gas into the chamber. And to this day, none of us really know if they did or not, but it scared us enough that we knew we had to operate our gas masks exactly the way they told us, so that we wouldn't inhale any of it. So we had to be really careful to listen to that class and to operate them exactly the way we were taught to.
What was one of your scariest experiences?
Well, the girls that I went in with, all nine of them went to Vietnam. And so you can imagine what kind of experiences they had.
Did you go to Vietnam?
I did not get sent to Vietnam. And I've had what they call survivor's guilt ever since, because my friends that were sent to Vietnam worked sometimes 24/7 in a mobile army hospital out in the field, taking care of 17 to 19 year old boys that died day after day, hour after hour. And it was very traumatic for them. The hardest part for me was I was sent to Walter Reed, and I was on a ward where the soldiers survived the mobile army hospital and got sent by medical evacuation to a stateside medical center. So their injuries were still very severe, but they were able to survive that kind of trip. And when I worked the evening shift and night shift, I was the only nurse on the floor with a lot of excellent corpsmen, and I could never have done it without them, because I just learned my nursing skills in a big city hospital, and I was very protected by all my nursing teachers, my professors. I had never even hung a unit of blood for a blood transfusion. And the first time I had to do that, I was very nervous. But the corpsmen all helped me, and I remember two patients that really frightened me the most. One of them was a sergeant who had gone through a very, very traumatic experience. We never knew what it was, but it caused him to be mentally ill, and he was suicidal. And we had to have a corpsman sit by him morning, noon, and night and never leave his side, or he would have tried to hurt himself. And I just wish that I could have gone and talked to him. But the unit that I was on had like 60 beds, and all these guys needed help. So I just had to keep moving from soldier to soldier, and could not spend very much time with anyone, so I was just so grateful for the young corpsman that sat with him. And the other corpsman I remember was so sick that he had to have a private duty nurse, and they took me off the floor and sent me to his room for the night shift for several weeks. And he was on what was called a striker frame. It was like a cot. And he had horrible burns all over his body with massive dressings on them. And every 2 or 3 hours, we had to put another, like the flat part of the cot on top of him. It was called a striker frame. And we would have to belt the two together, one was on top of him and one was on the bottom, and we would have to flip him over. So for 2 or 3 hours, his back was exposed, and 2 or 3 hours, his abdomen was exposed so that his skin didn't get infected. And that was very hard, and he was almost unconscious. When I talked to him, he never answered me. And I didn't know if it was because he was so sad or scared, or if he was just almost unconscious.
How was it with having a child in the military?
Well, that was many years later. For a very long time, whenever a female person on active duty got pregnant, they had to be honorably discharged from the Army. They could not stay on active duty and have a child. But in 1973, an Air Force nurse had a baby, and she took it to court and said that she was perfectly capable of doing her job as an Air Force nurse, and she won her case. So she set the tone for all the rest of the women in the Army, in the military. And a few weeks after that, I was due to deliver my baby, and I did not have to get discharged from the Army. So I just had to find an interview and discover an excellent daycare person to come to our house and take care of the baby after my maternity leave was over. And the Army gave me 6 weeks, just like most companies do that are civilians. And from then on, I just kept up doing my Army nurse career, and having a child didn't ever really interrupt it.
What do you think, do you think you would have, if you had the opportunity, would you have done something different with like a job?
Nope, I think I made the right decision. I always wanted to be a nurse, and during the Vietnam War, everybody wanted to do something to help the men that were in the war, and the women too, and to do everything we could to make it finally get over as fast as it could. And if I hadn't been in the Army, I would have been feeling very guilty that I wasn't doing anything to help. So I was glad that I could.
Where was the coolest place, in your opinion, where you traveled?
Well, when I was stationed in Washington after I had my baby, the office in Washington that assigns you informed me that it was time for my Far East hardship tour, which usually means that you go to some place like Korea for a year, and you cannot take your family with you. So I was really scared about that, and I thought I might be going to Korea or Japan, but instead, guess where they sent me? Honolulu, Hawaii. And that was really good news, and that was such a wonderful place to live.
What was your favorite part about it?
Well, I had a wonderful job and a wonderful chief nurse, so everything at work was just excellent, and we took care of, I was in pediatrics then, we took care of children that were flown in from all over the islands, And during that time, we were able to have a lot of company that wanted to see Hawaii, and we were able to make a trip on what was called a military hop. We went out to the Air Force Base and signed up for a plane that was going to Australia, and we got a free trip to Australia on in the military, they don't call it a vacation, they call it being on leave. And that's where I spent one of my leave times. And we stopped in the island of Samoa on the way, which was just beautiful. It was like paradise. Just so was Hawaii. So that was a wonderful place to be.
Well, that's kind of all the time we have.
Okay.
Thank you for letting me interview you, and I will talk to you later. See ya.